Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Happy Tech Tuesday, as we call it here on Doctor's Orders. I am Dr. Baker of the Business Hospital, the only business hospital in the world. Our job is to make sure that your business is operating at the highest level of efficiency and that it's as healthy as it can possibly be. You know, we had a whirlwind of a day between last night and today for those that are in the Midwest, especially in the Cincinnati, Dayton region, Northern Kentucky region, as we had high winds and knocked out power to over 100,000 individuals in our region. And so as a business owner, that makes that very, very difficult to deal with. And especially considering that today is Tech Tuesday, we're also talking about how difficult that is for your technology. I mean, if you don't have power on and all of a sudden it's gone and you rely on technology to run your business, that can hamper your operation and throw you into a frenzy. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today with my guest. Today's guest is Joe Toe from Tier 5, which is a managed IT company out of Columbus, Ohio. I'm really excited to have him because of his wealth of knowledge in the tech space, not to mention all of the solutions that they carry to help small business owners. I want to be able to touch on a few things that we talked about in some previous shows last week. We talked about cybersecurity and how important that was. We talked about it with Eku Williams of CyberSure. And for those listeners out there, I'm sure you learned a great deal regarding essentially all the different realities surrounding cybersecurity and bad actors in the industry. And a lot of that has to do with what we're going to talk about today, even in with managed IT services and how not only to protect yourself, but how to get things set up and, you know, how your network is an extension of your business and how it's an extension of your product and or services. So it's really important that you pay attention to these realities. Just looking at just in our current climate and how we go about doing business, you have a reality that we are becoming more and more dependent on technology. This is not new. This is actually a way of life at this point. And so because of that, we have to get smarter about how we integrate, about our views on technology, our relationship with technology, and then how do we protect ourselves to ensure that our business can last from there. If any listener wants to call in today and get in on the dialogue or the conversation, or you simply need assistance of any type, we will treat your business live on air. Our phone number is 859-291-2255. Once again, our call-in number is area code 859-291-2255. And without further ado, I want to bring in Joe Toth of Tier 5. Joe, how you doing today, sir?
Good. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. It's about 100 degrees here, and so we're doing all we can to stay cool, although I am looking forward to taking my daughter eventually here over the next couple of days to Kings Island so we can jump in the water, but it is certainly a scorcher. How are things your way?
Just about as hot. Here in Columbus, yep, it was a kind of a wild night with storms, and now we got all kinds of heat and humidity today, and best to stay inside.
Fantastic, understand. So tell the audience today a little bit about Tier 5, you know, what you guys do, how you go about doing it, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So, our company, Tier 5, primarily, at least as it pertains to our conversation today, we've got a division that we call Skinny Office that delivers managed IT services that are focused primarily at small businesses. And within that, that kind of managed services stack, we do cybersecurity, end user support, staff augmentation, network infrastructure, cloud hosting, kind of you name it. If it's something a small business needs in terms of IT services, that's generally what we do.
Okay, fantastic. And on my show, I like to define things for the audience, so therefore there's not assumptions made. We can clear up misunderstandings or misnomers. And one word that I've heard forever, and I'm sure the audience has as well, is managed IT. Let's break that down a little bit, and I really want this to be second grade simple, the best we can do it for our listeners, so they can see how it applies to their business. And as a reminder, audience, we're talking to everyone from just having a concept in your mind to micro or boutique businesses, mom and pop shops, startup founders, all the way to large entities and Fortune 100s. And so the reason why, you know, we have these guests come on is so therefore you can see yourself in the conversation. You know, when we mention the term, how that directly affects you and where your awareness should lie. So once again, back to you, Joe, as it relates to managed IT, what in the world is the term? You know, what does it mean? You know, and how does that relate to business?
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, kind of the way we see it, package it, think about it is we like to call ourselves a IT department in a box. So our, you know, within our Skinny Office division, our flagship product there is something that we call Skinny Office Workspace, which what that gets you is under one monthly subscription, gets you both your technology stack. So we have a application that we have built over the last couple of years that does file management, task management, some calendaring, and just kind of a sort of a general kind of services IT package. You know, so anything that has to do with file sharing or file storage, you know, we include that in the subscription. We also include everything you need for backup, managed security. Your antivirus, your firewall management, backup, and then Microsoft Office 365, and then support for everything. So whether that is kind of break-fix support of your technology or kind of training you how to use the things that we've delivered as part of the solution, it's all included. So managed IT services to us is really kind of an all-you-care-to-eat, turnkey IT experience. So, like I said, going back to that, really that IT, that concept of an IT department in a box.
Well, I think what's fantastic is having it in a box. We're talking about having a ready-made solution for individuals that don't specialize in that area. And you mentioned having a subscription, and a subscription is, you know, in my opinion, and based on how the world has changed in this trend particularly, is that subscriptions has allowed people to participate with things that beforehand larger companies had access to. We're used to subscription models because people have apps to do pretty much any and everything to govern their life. And in this instance, it's no different, is that you now have managed IT as a subscription, which makes it, number one, more affordable. And I would imagine that it would make it customizable. Is that correct, too?
Correct. Yeah. And we, you know, from a subscription standpoint, we can take it a step further. So we also can do and have, you know, probably I would say the majority of our customers, we also provide hardware under subscription too as well. So, if you're a company and you're needing to do a refresh of your laptop fleet or your desktop fleet, or you've got a big network expansion, not every business, especially in the range of market that we operate in, is set up that they can easily take on or have the cash flow, or the reserves to take on, let's say, a $25,000 PC refresh. What we have the flexibility and capability to do is to break that down and include that hardware under subscription, and then give you some options at the end of that subscription term, whether, you know, it gets refreshed again or you keep it. You know, it works kind of a lot like a lease in that regard.
Well, you know, now you say it works like a lease. I know I used to be in the automotive industry nearly 7 years as a director of sales. And one thing I knew about leasing is that people hated the word or they didn't really understand it. And the people that did took advantage of it. So I would imagine in this case, it would be very similar, is that I've seen my patients, potential patients, through conversation and interaction, that there could be a hardware issue, meaning that my computer doesn't work very well, or our computers don't, but we don't really have the capital. We don't have the money right now to go out to, you know, Micro Center and just go buy a whole set. But what you're telling us is that, hey, we'll take a look at what you need, advise you on what's in the best interest of your operation, and then we will assist you through our subscription modeling to help you upgrade, so therefore you can get work done efficiently, therefore increasing your business. Am I hearing that correctly?
You absolutely are. And we try to make it as easy and stress-free for the customer as possible. So the partners that we work with for financing, we generally work with credit unions here in Ohio, so that the rates are that we're able to offer through those partnerships are much more generally forgiving than they would be through a commercial financing entity.
Which is fantastic. Now you've essentially eliminated, number one, the fear and the procrastination of upgrading your hardware. And then number two, right, you've given the opportunity to access to the understanding of it. And when I say the understanding, is that it can be complicated and kind of feel like a daunting task or even provide anxiety to a, what I would call a micro or boutique business and even other small businesses. And for the audience, we're talking 50 million and under, 500 employees or less. It could even be a daunting task to say, what computers do we even need? How do I make a differentiation? How much should I even spend? Am I buying too much hardware? Do I have not enough? And with Tier 5 services and your expertise, you can help guide through all of that to make good sense of things that may not make sense to the average owner, right?
Absolutely. No, when it comes to, I guess, kind of peace of mind, certainly once you start to consider the security aspects of IT, obviously that's a real pain point for every business at this point. And the nice thing about what we're doing is including those cybersecurity services, within the services agreement. The other point you kind of hit on there that we see a lot is definitely. We've had a number of people come to us who have very much been in situations where they have overbought, hardware, especially desktop hardware, because, there is kind of this, idea that's been around in the desktop computing space. If some is good, more is better. And, now that we're living in primarily a cloud computing world, that's not always the case. Obviously there's some minimums hardware-wise that you need to make sure that you're sticking to, but you don't want to overbuy. So we really try to help customers, kind of find that Goldilocks zone of, getting the most for their money when they're investing in new technology.
Now, you just mentioned that we're in this cloud computing, culture and society. Let's translate that. If I have a granite and stone company, if I have a catering business, if I have an e-commerce shop, how does that translate to even those types of businesses? Because I know after listening to conversations and watching operations, they don't always believe that they're in that world. They still think that they might be in hard goods or hard services and that maybe their livelihoods don't connect to that level of their mind of sophistication of technology. Help us combine that.
Sure. So, I give you an example that kind of not a countertop company, but a nice example that I like to use that comes from our customer base is we've got a customer that is a flooring operation. So they've got a retail operation, they've got a warehouse, they've got an install crew, a couple install crews, and they are very. Sort of forward-looking, when it comes to technology, considering, that they're coming from a, as you said, sort of a hard goods or a, building services space. What we did for them is they have an application that ran on site that tracks all their orders, tracks all their installs, tracks all their measuring, and it ran on a server in their showroom, was very kind of poorly maintained. It wasn't regularly backed up, had a lot of issues with it. We were able to take that application, kind of uplift it, put it into cloud hosting. So now we've got, regular maintenance of that application happening. And you have to understand that this application is truly the heart of their business. If it's not available, they can't process orders, they can't order material, the whole business shuts down. So moving that into the cloud, it was able to be maintained better. So with regular backups happening, it was able to be replicated between two different clouds so that there is now backup and redundancy in the event of you know, some kind of failure at one of the cloud providers, it can be moved over to the other site. So they have that available to them now. You know, it's now able to be accessed off-site. So they've got, you know, some tablets and remote devices that now they can get in, you know, if they're at home or, you know, in one of their service vans, able to access that. So, you know, kind of the cloud hosting sort of made all that possible, you know, that it would have been very difficult for them to achieve those same things the way that, you know, it was running on you know, a server under somebody's desk before.
So in that case, when we talk about backups, when we talk about systems speaking with one another, are you finding it, you know, just, and I'm really looking for your sense, you've been in the industry a long time, how do business owners do with backing up their information and storage? Are they good at doing it? Do they, and they just need assistance? Are they completely oblivious to it and they have no idea if they're doing it appropriately or at all? Give us a sense of what that looks like with your experience.
Yeah, it unfortunately, it almost, in my experience, comes in the latter rather than the former there, that we find very few, you know, new customers that we start working with that are in that, you know, what we talked about, that small business space, that have any kind of a handle on their backups. So best case scenario is, you know, maybe the last time they paid a consultant to come in, you know, they set up some kind of a backup, and it's been running to some sort of external drive that is, you know, plugged into the same machine that it's backing up. And, you know, and in a, you know, our sort of modern world of, you know, modern risks, that's not no longer an appropriate backup solution. You know, it's not going to protect you in the event of ransomware, nor is it going to protect you in the event of, you know, some kind of natural or other disaster. So fire, flood, tornado, you know, having that backup, you know, on site with the machine being backed up is, you know, it's only useful in the event that the thing that you're protecting against is, you know, a hard drive failing and the machine is being backed up. But very rarely do we find small businesses, you know, unless there is a full-time IT resource on staff, very rarely do we find ones that have an appropriate backup strategy in place.
Do we attribute that behavior more to ignorance due to, you know, nothing will ever happen to me or nothing has happened to me, so I think that I'm good, or to some other causal factor?
I would say more often than not, it's just ignorance. It's not, you know, it's a case of, you know, if you're a business owner, you're a business manager, if, you know, if that's, you know, that's not where your headspace is at, that's not what you're worrying about every day. You know, it's easy to go, you know, it's easy to go overlooked. You may not have fully considered the risks to your business in terms of, you know, ransomware, you know, other types of cyber attacks or, you know, natural or man-made disasters. You know, so I think it's, like I said, I think more often than not, it's ignorance. And I don't, you know, say that to be, you know, insulting or anything like that. It's just, you know, people who, you know, they're busy people and they have other things on their mind, and, you know, they may not know what is, you know, in 2022, what is appropriate or expected in terms of backup.
Well, in that case, since, you know, we're talking about what they should do, things they should be aware of, talk to us a little bit about what people are aware of. You know, what are they making the phone call for? You know, yesterday was Market Monday. I had Olivia Hutchinson on from Fetch My Brand, and one thing that I let her know that as, you know, as a business doctor running the business hospital, I get phone calls all the time regarding, you know, hey, doc, I need money. Hey, doc, we need to market better. You know, I would say in third position is, hey, I want to build an app. You know, I get those three phone calls regularly. What are the phone calls that you have been seeing and what have you seen over time? I'll start with that and have a follow-up afterwards.
Sure. So a lot of what we're seeing this year is, you know, we're kind of in an interesting, you know, the kind of, you know, I'd like to say we're on the backside of the pandemic, but I don't really know if we are or aren't. But, you know, in whatever, you know, whatever sort of environment we're in, you know, with COVID now, kind of in a, at least a sort of changing environment, What we've seen a lot this year and have been doing a lot of are people who are, you know, in some cases they've come back to the office, or, you know, in some cases they never left, depending on the business, but, you know, they had kind of left a lot of IT projects kind of on the shelf that weren't, you know, I guess, distinctly, like, you know, related to COVID or remote work or things like that. So, you know, we've been doing a lot of, you know, where people have, you know, in the last 2 years, they went from all desktops to laptops now because, you know, now they're kind of doing a hybrid thing where some people are remote, some people are on site. You know, so we've been having to do some kind of, I guess, what you would call modernization and, you know, just sort of IT infrastructure improvement projects for folks. And then, you know, security is always kind of in the background on all of that as well. You know, so, you know, obviously, you know, ransomware has just, you know, gone, you know, absolutely wild over the last 2 years. In terms of the number of attacks and how much money is actually changing hands when it comes to that. So, you know, helping folks, you know, better prepare against that is also something, you know, we're always kind of doing a lot of. So, yeah, but it's you know, and then, you know, the other part, I guess, kind of, you know, stepping back to other projects we're doing, those, as I mentioned, those kind of infrastructure refresh projects, almost every single one of them has some kind of cloud element to it. So, you know, we're very much in an era of, you hear a lot of talk about, you know, hybrid work, you know, with, but, you know, we're very much in an era of sort of hybrid IT as well, where, you know, a small business is going to have, you know, some IT elements on premise, you know, for your network and your wireless. You know, maybe a little server, maybe not, depending on the need and the size of the business. And then there's going to be a cloud component. And so, you know, that may be for file sharing and collaboration. That may be for customer relationship management, you know, email, you know, messaging, you know, Teams, Slack, whatever you're using for that. So it's, you know, you have kind of all these, you know, kind of silos of technology. And, you know, so, like I said, some are, you know, some of it is on premise, and then you've got, you know, various cloud silos. You know, and so one of the things that, you know, as we do these kind of modernization projects, generally what we try to do is, you know, help people best orchestrate, you know, those different cloud applications together so that you're, you know, using the same credentials across them, you know, where possible and supported, you know, and just kind of, you know, trying to, you know, make sure that people, again, aren't overspending and have, you know, duplicate capabilities across multiple cloud platforms, you know, things like that. You know, just kind of helping people understand what they have and make the most of it.
You know, you brought up some interesting realities there, and I'm hoping that the audience is really paying attention to the fact that no matter what type of business you have, regardless of size, this is touching your world in a very significant and profound way, and understanding what it means to your business is vital. Talk to me about how, if a company is using Slack, Google, and Dropbox, and maybe some other, you know, whether we call them third-party, you know, provider tools, whether it could be CRM tools, point-of-sale tools, what does that look like in the managed IT world when you're trying to make sure that it's as streamlined as possible, all of the network is being protected, and that the operation can be efficient? What does that fragmented world look like to you? And then why is that important to the small business owner?
Sure. So, you know, what we run into a lot, because, you know, file and file storage and management, and sharing is a big portion of what we do. In fact, the platform that we own and operate, our Workspace platform, you know, does those file sharing, things natively. So it's definitely something that's very near and dear to our hearts. So to give you an example, you know, another sort of real customer example. We have a customer that uses an application called Box. So, you know, sort of a, you know, more of a commercial focused, you know, competitor to Dropbox or Ignite or, even Microsoft OneDrive for Business. So it's in this category of applications that are called enterprise file storing and sync. And they spent a lot of money on a monthly basis for licensing for Box, but never really took the time to really understand what it is that they bought. So they kind of went out through a credit card at Box, signed up for about 20 seats, and just started dumping things into it with no real kind of plan or expectation of how it was going to be used. And, so flash forward 2 years, and what they have now is, at that point was a system that was almost unmanageable. If they needed to find documents for a project, they would regularly lose documents within that system because somebody would have shared them from their personal folder. That person left for a different job, and they deactivated the subscription for that person, and so the files that were shared by that person went with them. They had a legal issue where they had a real hard time finding documents for discovery because the permissions weren't set in any kind of a planned or a meaningful way. They were in a situation where, now they're spending, in their case, they were spending about $1,500 a month for this application. That was honestly putting them in a pretty bad way. Instead of being an asset for the company, in many ways, it was turning into a liability. So that's a way where, and we have customers who have come to us that have gotten in trouble the same way, with Google subscriptions and Office 365 subscriptions, because, part of the things that are really, one of the things that's really nice about, cloud services, but that can also be kind of a runaway train is, how easy it is to add users, how easy it is to spin up new services, so you end up with, somebody who puts their credit card into, the 365 billing portal and spins up some services that maybe, 6 months down the line, nobody knows what those were being used for, why they were there, if they're still needed. So the cloud stuff, it can very quickly kind of, especially from an expense organizational standpoint, it can get away from you really quick.
Well, I can see where that becomes very difficult for the really small businesses, once again, micro boutique, mom and pop shops, because you might hear even us talking right now and say, hey, I kind of need to upgrade this part of my system, or I need to invest in this. But now you've invested in 4, 5, 6, 7 things, some of them, and I imagine you have to see this, and I think we'd be interested in hearing how frequent this is, but you might buy into certain subscriptions that are actually doing the same things or have compatibility issues or redundancy issues, just a host of factors. I mean, I can think of CRM tools that I don't have to necessarily name them, but they might have everything from taking the notes to your business to sending out your email campaigns to also storing, some of your other files, but you have another system that stores your files. Then you have exactly another system that does something else. How frequently are you seeing that?
Almost every customer. I would have to sit and think about it to think of a customer who came to us that had everything very organized and very plotted out, and didn't have, overlaps and redundancies in where they're storing files, where they're storing customer information. It's almost 100% of the time. Because again,
when you think about that though, Joe, you have a scenario where, we're all, and this is going back to one of the requests that I get every day. I'll get, hey, Doc, I need more money. Well, by the time I've given them a business physical and I've taken a look at where they spend their money, how they operate, what's going on with their internal controls, I might free up $6,000 for them that they didn't even know that they had, and that could even be monthly. And all of a sudden, it's, you needed more money. I just found you more money now.
Right.
You take that money and go do something with it that can be reinvested into your business that allows you to perform much better.
Yeah, you know, money that you didn't have to trade equity for or take on debt. You know, that's the best kind of money you can find.
Right, and that's a lot more than just a simple budget exercise. You know, a budget exercise is vitally important. We had that conversation on Friday with Joe Faison, our CFO and chief financial strategist on Financial Friday last week. But, you know, your budget is one reality, but understanding the services, you know, and or the products that you're paying for is completely different. So you might say in our budget is a technology spend, but inside of that technology spend, that has to be scrutinized to determine there might be 17 different item lines inside of your tech spend. Maybe it shouldn't be 17. It should just be 9.
Right.
Exactly. And that goes back to your point of being thoughtful and deliberate regarding what's going on in the space of your technology. I want to pause there for a moment and take an identification break. This segment of Tech Tuesday is brought to you by none other than Pro Elite Training. That's Pro Elite, one word, Pro and Elite. You can find it in your Google and App Store. You can also find it on the website of GetProElite.com. Train with NBA, NFL, and professional fighters to be able to increase your rhythm, tempo, and pace through the metronome of music. It is the only one of its kind. So if you want to learn how to dribble a basketball better, or if you just want to run better, download today Pro Elite Training. It is a freemium model, so you get hundreds of drills that will cost you absolutely nothing. You can increase your skill set today with Pro Elite Training. So back to the point, Joe, and everyone, we have Joe Toth here of Tier 5, a managed IT company, and we're talking about how smart is it for you to pay attention to your technology needs? What are some of the common issues that Joe sees in the industry as it relates to managed IT problems? And we just finished talking about how we need a deliberate and intentional consciousness toward your technology, how to integrate platforms that need to be integrated, and how to, I would say, regularly scan over your technology stack to ensure that you're as efficient as possible. And that actually reminds me, it's kind of like looking at insurance, and I know this is Tech Tuesday, so we're not discussing insurance, but it is a very good practice to look at your policies and insurance on a regular basis. So whether you do it annually or you do it, you know, semi-annually, whatever happens, you need to look to make sure that policies haven't changed, things haven't lapsed, rates are as good as they can possibly be. You need to do the same thing with your technology. Am I right, Nat Joe?
Absolutely. So, something I wanted to kind of circle back to, before the break, we were talking about, you know, the idea of kind of having redundancies and overlap, of where you're, got data, stored out in different cloud silos. You know, something that I think listeners need to keep in mind is, data that you don't need, in terms of especially data that is either customer data, so, personally identifiable customer data, or sensitive information, to your business, so your financial records, tax documents, things like that. All those things that you're storing redundant copies of in overlapping systems, over time, each one of those in its own way kind of becomes a liability. Heaven forbid, Dropbox has a big security incident, and there is a they leak customer data out onto the web. You may if you haven't kind of kept up on top of where you're storing things and what you're storing in places, if you had things stored out in Dropbox that are customer data, something like that, now you've got some liability that you've been exposed to that you may not even have been aware of, for something that, maybe was a system you had intended or started to use, or one of your employees started to use 18 months ago, but the rest of the business went in a different direction. But now you've got, third party data, that is sitting out with another third party that, over time, as that data ages, it may no longer be an asset to your business. It may actually become a liability. So that's another sort of aspect, in addition to, you know, overspending that listeners should be aware of?
Well, you know, I find, and this is one of the metrics as to why we call it business health, which is why I invented the industry to capture this, not only just the dialogue, but to change the behaviors, is that there's a lot of business owners that just simply don't consider the amount of risk, the amount of liability, the amount of money or inefficiencies that they're engaged in, just simply to the fact that it's not what they're traditionally trained in. They're not classically thinking about these realities, but it can have a profound reality on the survival of your business or how profitable that business is. So how do we rank technology in today's current era? And when I say it, I recognize that, and I'm going to make this claim based on my own opinions and expertise, is that all realms of business are vitally important. But how do you rank technology, and not just because you're in the industry, just with as unbiased of a look as you can, how are you ranking the health of technology to a small business and the importance of its survival?
So my personal opinion is that technology is the second most important aspect of any business. The first the most important being the employees. But I think it comes directly after the employees. You know, every company that I've owned or every company that I've worked with, you know, rises and sets by, you know, how good of a workforce it has. You know, but I think, you know, my personal feeling is second only to that, you know, second only to that is the technology aspect. And, you know, and that is vitally important because, you know, that technology piece is in, you know, 2022, it is primarily how you are servicing your customer. Again, regardless of what business you're in, you know, I ordered, you know, flooring, you know, for myself yesterday, and it was all done electronically. So, you know, so it's your primary customer touch point, and it is your primary, you know, support system for your employees. So, you know, the technology should be there to service the workforce, and, you know, well-executed technology does just that.
Well, you just mentioned a word that I think is very important. And as a reminder, listeners, we always look at the importance of words. None of them are casual, but, you know, well-run, well-orchestrated technology. How detrimental is it when technology doesn't work, or you have what I would call inadequate technology just because you're trying to skate by, because you're trying to stretch a dollar? You know, does that hamper a business? Is it something that you can piece together? Should it be an investment that's paid attention to from the onset and then you create that foundation? How do you rank that?
You know, so I think, you know, at every stage of the business life cycle, I think, you know, I think you need to have an eye towards it. You know, and, you know, there are certainly industries where you can get by with less technology than others. You know, obviously in, you know, in our area, you know, you can't be a financial services company without, you know, effectively being a technology company. But, you know, there are, you know, other industries that don't need obviously as deep a dive on technology as maybe that kind of extreme example there. But, you know, but even, you know, with what we see in our business is the companies that plan for, execute, and adopt technology well outperform their competitors that don't. It's as simple as that.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then that means that there's a direct correlation towards success regardless of the metric. So if we were to say success is revenue generation, or if it's profit realization, or if it's market share, or if it's community involvement, any of those could be deemed success measures, in which I think what I'm hearing you say, but what I also know to be true, is that technology plays a significant part in all of those realities, plus all the others, right?
Absolutely.
You know, when you go to create an entity, I mean, we had, once again, Fetch My Brand on yesterday for Market Monday, and as we were talking about social media marketing, I mean, heck, the concept alone is technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just with social media, and how do you now navigate that? What you post, when you post. I mean, so we've got technology that does postings for you. you have realities where, you know, followers can then be created by algorithms, and all of that is technology, correct?
Absolutely.
You know, and so how we then view technology becomes something that we say, what is my business? How do I want to differentiate myself from the competition? How do I either stand out? And part of it is having technology that works for you in a way that makes you much better from a customer service standpoint. But I would also argue, and I think I'm going to make this argument regular, is to prevent catastrophic loss by making sure that you're bunkered in and that you minimize risk in very key areas. You know, if we talk about those key areas, let's just for clarity's sake, let's name what I would say is your top three areas that need to be fortified from a technology standpoint that would benefit a small business.
Sure. That's actually really easy to give you a top three on that. And because I will key off the some of the things that if you are a small business and you go to seek a cybersecurity, a cyber breach liability policy from an insurance carrier, I can tell you the things that they're going to be looking for. Otherwise, they will either not underwrite the policy. In our experience, kind of starting in the last 3 to 6 months, it's gotten to the point where they just simply won't underwrite the policy otherwise, or you're going to pay a lot more in premiums and deductible. So those three areas that the insurers are hitting really hard on, which, you know, the reason they're hitting it really hard on is it's where the risk is. So first and foremost is backup. So again, because the insurers are having to pay out absolutely whopper ransomware claims over the last 18 to 24 months. So, you know, they've really kind of started to try and stem the tide of their claims that they're having to pay out on that. So, you know, they're looking for a good backup strategy, not, you know, something where there are regularly tested backups that are being made off-site. So that's kind of thing one. Thing two is multi-factor authentication. So right now, that multi-factor authentication, so for folks that are listening that you know, may not know much about that, essentially what that is you log into your email or you log into your computer, you've got a regular username and password. So multi-factor authentication is basically adding another piece to that. So could be an app on your phone that you get that generates a code that you put in, or could push a request to your phone that you have to approve. Could be a little hardware device that plugs into the computer. Could be a fingerprint. You know, so that there are a number of multi-factor, authentication solutions available depending on what platform you're in. But at a minimum, insurers are looking for you to have multi-factor authentication turned on your email, so that, you know, again, because email account theft is a huge, via phishing emails is a huge kind of area of exposure for businesses. Multi-factor authentication really helps. It's probably one of the best things that you can do to cut down on that. So the third thing is some kind of managed anti-malware solution. So this would be, something more robust in functionality than, you know, kind of your typical purchased at Best Buy or you know, antivirus subscription or what might have come with your computer. This is something that's more of a, would be looking for a more robust application, usually, and you'll hear it kind of referred to within the industry as EDR, Endpoint Detection and Response, which is kind of a, I guess the best way to imagine it is a sort of a black box security, flight recorder for your PC. So, it kind of monitors all of the network traffic that's coming in and out of your computer, all the applications that are running, and using a number of different techniques from machine learning to behavioral analysis to kind of figure out, hey, there's something not right going on here, something that seems suspicious, and we need to have, an analyst look at that. And so that is a service that we provide. We do a managed EDR deployment for customers, and again, that's another kind of another tier of what insurance companies are looking for. So, those three things, you know, the idea is you're kind of, you can kind of imagine them being a sort of part of a continuum of security. So the multi-factor authentication and the managed anti-malware are sort of a prevention piece and trying to, stop problems before they start. But understanding that that is not always going to be enough. Those things are never going to be able to stop everything at every company. Then you've got that, that good backup strategy. Those good tested backups is a last resort in the event, like I said, particularly of a ransomware or some kind of destructive cybersecurity attack, that you can quickly recover the business and get back to some kind of an operational state.
Well, thanks for those three, and I want to harp on one of them more than the others, and I want to go back to emails. We had CyberSure on and we talked about phishing techniques and what bad actors do regarding emails and how clever and sophisticated they can be, speak to the audience about, everything from Gmail accounts to Outlook, or, I have a GoDaddy site and I want to register that and have emails connected with my URL on there. What are some tips or what should the average business owner, what should they know and what should they do as it relates to best practices? And are they safe going those routes when they're trying to protect information and protect their employees just through email?
Sure. So like anything, no two businesses, risk profile are identical. The risk to a person who may have one or two employees, that has email is going to be very different from the risks to a business that has 10 or 15 or 20 employees. For very, very small, companies, independent consultants, micro businesses, setting up an account on, either Office 365 or Gmail, and kind of using their kind of out of the box defaults from a security standpoint, is probably, again, as long as you're turning on MFA, I always sort of couch that,
MFA, multi-factor authentication, just to remember, guys. Yeah.
As long as you're turning on that on, you're probably okay. As you get a little bit bigger, going from 5 to 10 or 15 mailboxes, at that point, I would really recommend, engaging it with some kind of, some kind of an IT firm to help you manage that. Google Workspace, Office 365, sorry, Microsoft 365, I believe we're calling it now. It constantly changes names over there. But once you get, kind of beyond one or two users, and you start mixing different licenses, you may be syncing users from an on-premise server, it can get very complex, you can easily get into a situation where you're paying too much money, or you have, potentially misconfigured some things, and kind of left yourself open to, some problems, either security related or just kind of operational. Once you get to that point, obviously I'm in the business, but if it were me, it's not something as a business owner, once I got to that many mailboxes, that I would be willing to run myself. You're better off, throwing a few bucks at somebody a month to make sure that, you're getting your money's worth out of it. It's configured the way it should be, and it's not becoming a source of problems for the business.
Well, I don't find it to be selfish that you would talk about that, considering that you're in the business. That's the reason why you're on the show. It is a doctor's orders to my audience, and they've known this since day one, is that you have to find professionals in the space that you don't work in. So once again, if you don't have an attorney that you can regularly go to, you need one. If you don't have an accountant that you can regularly go to, you need one. And if you don't have a company that you're doing managed IT work with or for, then you need one. And in this instance, Tier 5 has the expertise and the national scope in order to assist you, whether your business has already grown to a level where you need additional management or you're seeking that growth opportunity. The reality is you need an entity that specializes in there, so it frees you up in order to do the work that you're good at doing and that you're graced to do. One thing that I find really kind of tragic and I speak against this regularly, is stop doing things that you're bad at and trying to figure out things that you really will never be good at. So what am I saying, Doc, is that if you don't understand this tech world and you're not classically trained in it, well, spending, you know, 2, 3, 4 man hours a day trying to figure that out just is not the best use of your time as a business owner or if you're a department head. Your job is to ensure that the services you're providing or the product that you're providing is performing at its highest level. You need to have an oversight, work with a specialist that's really good at it. And I find, Joe, that a lot of people are like, well, forget company ABC. I'm going to figure this thing out myself. What are some of the dangers of doing that when you're not really good at managed IT, but yet you think you can handle that on your own? Are there things they should look out for, you know, sophisticated behaviors that they may not be, you know, adequately ready to handle? Just what are some of the dangers of that?
Sure. So I'll tell you, you know, I've probably beaten up, the cyber threats enough for today's conversation. So obviously that's one, but another one that is very common to us that I think is maybe probably the most overlooked thing, where are companies that, again, where they've kind of piecemealed something together, it kind of maybe sort of works. The real issue we see in a lot of those cases is employee satisfaction. Maybe where the business owner or, we've certainly had customers that it's like, oh, I have my nephew come in, you know, a couple times a month, and he fixes anything that's broken. What we find in those situations are employees that are very frustrated because they are not getting the support, and you know, their application, their computer, their laptop, their printer, whatever it is, you know, is a daily source of frustration to them. It's a source of job satisfaction, dissatisfaction, and ultimately, kills productivity. And ultimately, a lot of times in those situations, where it may be a business owner that has, made multiple trips to Best Buy or Micro Center to cobble together something, because that is the boss, it is the owner, employees may not feel comfortable in that situation, kind of pointing out like, hey, this stuff doesn't work for me. I spend half my day, working around things or trying to make the best of this. And, but I don't really feel like I'm empowered or comfortable to be able to say something to the business owner about it because that's the boss. So that's a huge aspect of what we do is support. And, when we do it, we are very much a hospital or an emergency room for IET issues. We have, customers that will come to us. Their employees are empowered to directly engage with our team, to get issues resolved. And, we take it all. We don't operate on super tight scopes of work. So, we try to help employees, with whatever's frustrating them. So, I would say that, again, outside of, hard dollar risks in terms of cyber liability and data loss and things like that, employee satisfaction is probably the other, kind of prime mover of, what a managed services provider can bring to the table.
Well, you talked about employees being the primary or the top priority for a company and technology being number two. But overall, if you think about it with the appropriate lens, technology not only services the customer base and your particular target audience, but it is also servicing the employees. And so having that being thoughtful and very well run allows the people that work for the company to efficiently do their job in a way that then performs better and services your target audience better. And that's what you just highlighted and explained there, is how do we view our technology that we need to run our business in a way that satisfies everyone that's a stakeholder to the company. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And so as we navigate this, it's being smart about what services you have, why do you have them, how to integrate them, and then how to be a good steward over them. Technology does not have to be something that we're afraid of. It's just simply learning it and then embracing it from there. And then not because, you know, everyone else is speaking of terms of innovation. And in this instance, we mean, you know, technological advancement, because innovation can come in a host of ways. But we don't have to be moved by every new shiny thing that comes out. You know, there are some very, you know, tried and true realities, and there are some realities in technology that work just fine, and they will for years. And so I heard you comment on that, Joe, like, nope, we don't have to be moved because someone just invented something else. It's not that you will be left behind. It's more about having really sound practices with really good equipment and really good resources that service your operation and your target audience better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Technology is like anything else in business. You know, you gotta pick your shots, and you don't want to move too late, but you don't want to move too early, especially if you're a smaller business. Smaller businesses, we don't have the luxury of, being able to take flyers on things that don't always work out. Timing, as in most things in life, timing is everything. So you want to make sure that you're, making the right investments at the right time.
Well, I think when you talk about making the right investments, and we'll speak more about this on Financial Fridays, but investments aren't just random guesses. You know, investments come with data and metrics and experts, and the hypothesis has to be backed next to something else. So as technology continues to evolve, we don't want to make random guesses just to be on the front end of the curve. You know, as a small business owner, we need to be very judicial and prudent about how we spend and where we engage and how we look at our technology fits into that same realm. So, you know, something that's, you know, as malware or ransomware and protecting against that is important. We know the ramifications of that. But also looking at backups and the integration of your systems for the ease of use inside of your company, well, we know the importance of that. Those are no longer guesses. Am I right, Joe?
Correct.
Yeah, right, so the investment in that makes it a sound investment. That's no longer about a guess. You know, we take education for an example, and I'm not going to go on this rant today. I might get angry and do it on Thursday, on Trending Thursday. But, you know, you've got a movement saying, well, you know, I don't have to get a college degree, you know, to better my life. Well, no, you don't. But the facts are clear. Those who have a college degree flat out make more money than those that don't, on average, from country to country to country. It's no longer a guess. And so because it's not a guess, that is an investment. When you're guessing, that's not really an investment. So for the sake of our time, Joe, thank you so much for coming on. Tell the world where we can find you, and if they need managed IT services, where they can get in contact with you guys, whether it's questions or services, how can they get to you?
Sure. Easiest way is visit us on the web at skinnyoffice.net. And on there, you'll find all our contact information. So if you want to email us, you can find that there, or be happy to take a phone call as well. But that is the best place to reach us.
So skinnyoffice.net is exactly how it sounds. SKINNYOFFICE.net. That is skinnyoffice.net. You can find Joe Toth and his team of managed IT professionals to help your business grow. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today on this section of Doctor's Orders. I am Dr. Baker. I hope your business stays healthy, and we'll see you tomorrow on Worldview Wednesday.
Thank you for joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.